Well, hello again. Seems like forever ago that we had the podcast that discussed Jack's appearance on the Quiz Kids. And we've had a bunch, of episodes about with Jack and the Quiz Kids, which have been great. Then, of course, I took my couple weeks break and went back east and had a great time. And I'm going to be presenting more on that on the Fred Allen podcast tomorrow night. But this is Jack's reaction to being on the Quiz Kids show, and I think you'll all enjoy this episode, and it closes out kind of our whole Quiz Kids marathon that we've been having over the past month or so, and then we'll be off into a new direction next week. So enjoy this last shot at the Quiz Kids program with Jack Benny, and make sure you join us tomorrow for Fred Allen. See you next time.
No, Mary, I've made up my mind. I am not going into that studio and broadcast tonight.
Oh, Jack, let's not stand out here in the hall arguing. Everybody's looking at us.
Let them look. If you think I can do a show tonight after making a monkey out of myself on that Quiz Kids program, you're crazy.
That was Wednesday. People have forgotten all about it.
Oh, they have, eh?
And besides, you're a comedian. You're not supposed to have any brains.
Oh, you're just trying to make me feel good. There I was with those little kids, and I couldn't answer one question. And me, 34 years old. I couldn't even answer a simple question like, where's the Taj Mahal?
You could have built the Taj Mahal since you were 34.
Go ahead, rub it in. What a blunder. After all the years I spent in showbiz, I had to stick my neck out and ruin everything. Oh, well, that's life for you.
Pardon me, Mr. Benny. May I have your autograph?
You don't want my autograph, girlie. I'm washed up. Thanks, just the same.
Oh, Jack, you have to dramatize everything.
I do, eh?
Supposing you did miss on a few questions. You're not supposed to be Einstein.
I'm not supposed to be Phil Harris, either. My goodness. My cousin Boo Boo would have been as good as I was on that program. And all he knows is... I tell you, Mary, I'm not going on the air tonight.
Oh, for heaven's sake. If you're so ashamed of yourself, why don't you go out and join the Foreign Legion?
You might think that's a gag, Mary, but the Foreign Legion isn't such a bad idea. Can't get over it. Imagine not getting that one question about the Taj Mahal. I knew the answer, but I opened my mouth and nothing came out. Not only that, a fly came in. Oh, well, nothing I can do about it now.
Jack, hurry up. The program starts in 30 seconds.
Well, I won't be on it.
Now, Jack Benny, stop acting like a big baby. He'll be right in, Don.
Mary, I'm not going... Stop pulling me. Mary, let go of my arm.
Come on, Jack. Remember, you're a trooper.
A what? Oh, yes, that's right. Once a trooper, always a trooper. The show must go on.
Quiet, Jack. We're on the air.
Okay. Gee, I hope I'm good tonight.
J-E-L-L. Oh.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with the Vine Street Viggle. Every housewife knows that in cooking and baking, you get the best results if you follow specific recipes instead of just guessing at the measurements and ingredients. And it certainly pays to be very specific, when you're ordering the foods that go into those recipes. That's why it's always a wise thing to ask for Jell-O whenever you're buying a gelatin dessert. If you ask for this swell dessert by name, you can be sure of getting every single time all those good things that Jell-O has come to stand for. You'll get Jell-O's brilliant colors that always look so gay and inviting. And you'll get Jell-O's grand, distinctive flavor. A flavor as refreshing as the juicy ripe fruit itself, the very ultimate in rich dessert enjoyment. So when you ask for any of those famous six delicious flavors, remember, ladies and gentlemen, to specify the name Jell-O. Jell-O is a trademark, the property of General Foods. And those big red letters on the box tell you that here's a mighty delightful treat. America's favorite gelatin dessert, Jell-O. The Vine Street Biggle, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we bring you one of the most brilliant minds in America today. A man whose meek and humble appearance conceals the brain of a genius. A man who appeared on the Quiz Kids program Wednesday night and didn't know the Taj Mahal from the Empire State Building, Jack Benny. Yeah.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I can't blame you for ribbing me tonight. Those Quiz Kids really gave me the old 1-2. I was never so humiliated in my life.
Well, I wouldn't take it so hard. After all, Jack, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, it isn't, eh? Well, let me tell you something, Don. Everybody's snubbing me. I met Barney Dean on the street the other day, and he wouldn't even speak to me.
Barney Dean? Who's he?
Just throw a cigar away in front of the Regent Hotel. You'll find out. Can't understand it. We've always been such good friends.
Well, that's the way it goes.
But I'm not complaining, Don. I had it coming to me after that showing I made Wednesday night. I can take it, though.
You can take it?
Yes.
Then why did you try to hang yourself Thursday morning?
Oh, for heaven's sake, I was hanging up a little laundry. I fell off the ladder and got tangled in the clothesline. That's all.
Then explain that note you left. Farewell, cruel world.
Oh, that must have fallen out of my scrapbook. That's a note I wrote one time when Clara Bow wouldn't go out with me. She got mad because my garter got caught in her wristwatch during a Charleston contest. We were disqualified. Anyway, Don, when Mary saw me, I was just hanging up a few socks.
On Thursday? I thought you always did your washing on Monday.
I couldn't do it Monday. I gave a reception for Lady Mendel. What do you want me to do, ask her to run the ringer? She came over to my house to meet the Quiz Kids.
Then why didn't you do your laundry Tuesday?
You know darn well that Tuesday is my day to go out and catch dogs in Beverly Hills. I was elected to the office, and it's my duty. Now, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Say, I heard you on the Quiz Kids program last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you sure were smart.
Smart? I didn't even open my mouth.
That's what I mean. Don't talk, brother, unless you've got a lawyer with you.
You're a little mixed up, Dennis, but thanks anyway.
You know, Mr. Benny, when I was 8 years old, I was just as bright as any one of those Quiz Kids.
You were?
Yeah. What happened to me?
I'm sure I don't know.
Some say one thing and some say another.
Well, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Dennis. You've got a good voice. What more do you want? You know, Don, as a rule, I'm pretty hard-boiled, but even though those Quiz Kids made me look like a nickel, I can't help liking them. They're so sweet and unspoiled.
By the way, Jack, are they still living at your house?
Yes, Don, but they're leaving tonight.
They better check out before 6 o'clock or they'll be hooked for another day.
Listen, Mary, at a lot of hotels, the guests have to come to be out by noon. So don't run down the Beverly Hills tourist haven. Rotary Club every Wednesday.
I thought the Campfire Girls met on Wednesday.
Only in the winter. But honestly, fellas, those kids really made a hit with me. Gosh, they were wonderful company. I may be a bit sentimental, but I don't know. I'm going to miss the patter of little feet running around the house. Well, be so quiet.
Why don't you put shoes on the mice?
Oh, stop. No use being sentimental around here. Say, Dennis.
Yes, please?
As long as Phil isn't here yet, how about your song? What's it going to be?
I'm going to sing a brand new number called Once Upon a Summertime. And this is the first time it's ever been done on the air.
Well, a newie, huh? Let's hear it, Dennis.
Okay.
Hold it a minute. Come in.
Telegram for Jack Benny.
Take it, Mary. Wait a minute, buddy. Here's a dime for you.
Oh, goody. Now I get my curls out of hock.
All that zombie needs is curls.
Say, Jack, this wire's from Waukegan.
Oh, from home, eh?
Yeah, it says, you certainly disgrace the family on the Quiz Kids program. Personally, I'm disgusted with you.
Disgusted with me? Who's that from?
Cousin Boo Boo.
Well, how did Boo Boo ever find out about telegrams? He must have seen the picture Western Union. Sing, Dennis.
The story I'm about to tell isn't very new. A lot of people know it well. Now I know it too. It's a load off my heart, nothing more. So don't stop me if you've heard this one before. Once upon a summertime, not so long ago, there were two in a love affair. One of them didn't care. What happened, I'll never know. For once upon a winter time, this affair turned cold. And because of a change of heart, this story had to be told. It lasted through September, October and November, and I still remember April, December. If I love some other time, I'll know what to do. I'll find someone who'll love me through summer and winter time too. Through summer and winter time.
That was Once Upon a Summertime, written by Jack Brooks and Norman Barons, and sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, that was not only a great number, but your voice was really heavenly. It was positively ethereal. All right, Don. Ethereal.
Oh, Jack, it's so ridiculous.
Don, Dennis's voice was positively ethereal. Now go ahead.
Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you're in the market for a real treat, be sure to buy a package of Jell-O.
Keep going.
Remember, folks, Jell-O is not ethereal, it's a dessert.
There.
But what does it mean? I don't get it.
Don, ethereal is a pun on the word cereal. Jell-O is not ethereal. Now continue, this is the cute part.
Okay. Why don't you run down to your neighborhood grocer and ask him for any one of the thick, delicious flavors?
Keep going, Don.
Oh, this is so silly.
Don!
So look for the big red letters on the box. Darn you, Jack Benny, I'm going home.
What? Well, I'll be darned he left. I must have wounded his big fat vanity. So temperamental lately.
Well, I don't blame him. Did you write that commercial, Jack?
Yes.
Well, I thoroughly stunk.
Mary, those are all clever ideas and should be tried out. You know, I got a marvelous one for next week. Look, as soon as Dennis finishes his song, we'll... Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. What's the matter with Don? I just seen him walking down the hall.
Oh, he's mad at me.
The guy's screwy. I said hello to him, and he says, I'm thick of you, too.
He did, eh?
Yeah, you know, the guy was lipsing.
That's lisping. Not lipsing.
Well, he did it with his lips.
I don't care what he did it with. The word is lisping.
All right. Have it your way. Hiya, Mary.
Hello, Phil. Say, Phil, how are you and the boys going over at the Paramount Theater?
Mary, we're a riot. You ought to hear the laughs I get with my gags.
I can imagine.
Get this one, Jackson. When I first walk out on the stage, I say to my guitar player, I say, hey, Frankie, who was that lady I seen you with last night?
Uh-huh.
And before he can answer, I hit him right in the kisser with a blueberry pie.
Why, Phil Harris, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Throwing a pie in a guy's face is the oldest comedy bit in show business.
With blueberry? You're thinking of custard.
Oh, I see. You modernized it, huh?
You know, I can't imagine people laughing at that kind of stuff nowadays.
Neither can I.
Oh, you can't, eh? Why, after the first show, the manager came backstage and told me I was terrific. He said, Harris, you ought to have your own radio program.
He did, eh?
Yeah, but don't worry, Jackson. I'm loyal. I'm with you for years.
Well, thanks. Now, if I was loyal, you'd be all set. Let me tell you something, Phil. I used to be in vaudeville, but I never stooped so low as to throw a pie at anybody. That's real hokum.
What about that corny piece of business you used to do in your violin act?
Corny piece of business?
What was it, Mary?
Jack used to play by the waters of the Minnetonka, and for a finish, Barney Dean would squirt him in the face with a bottle of seltzer.
Yeah, now the guy won't even speak to me. But, Mary, that was a very clever tie-in. You see, the song I was playing was about water, so Barney Dean squirted seltzer water on me. That was the idea.
Remember the time he played Among My Souvenirs and he took your watch?
Well, that was just for a gag. I got it back later. Anyway, I'll never forget one day when Bach... Come in.
Hello, boss.
Oh, hello, Rochester.
I got the quiz kids out in the car. They're all ready to go to the station.
Already? I didn't know it was that late. Say, Phil, the kids are going back to Chicago tonight, and I promised to take them down to the train. So you carry on with the show, will you?
Okay. Hey, Frankie, go out and get a blueberry pie.
You don't have to do that here. Just play some numbers. Come on, Mary, you ride down with us. So long, Phil. See you later, Dennis.
So long, Mr. Benny.
The kids are in the car, eh, Rochester?
Yes, sir. And, boss, listening to those kids talk is really an education.
It certainly is.
You know, I told them the salary you were paying me, and they took my weekly earnings, multiplied by 52, and gave me the square root of my annual income.
The square root, eh? What was it?
Believe me, boss, it ain't worth rooting.
That's too bad. Now, listen, Rochester.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Benny.
Yes?
I've got your papers ready to sign. You leave in 10 days.
What? Oh, I meant to get in touch with you about that. I'm not going.
Well, it's pretty late for that, Mr. Benny.
I'm sorry. You'll have to forget the whole thing. Come on, Mary. Darn it, I meant to write him a letter.
Who is that, Jack?
The recruiting officer for the Foreign Legion. You know how depressed I was. It's all off now, though.
I'm sure disappointed, boss. I got a gal in Morocco.
Well, you weren't going. Well, there are the kids. Come on, Mary.
Okay, Bo Jeff.
Hello, kids. Here's Uncle Jackie to take you to the train. Now, I'll sit up in front with Rochester. And, Mary, you get back there with the kids. Move over, Gerard.
Thank you.
Little Rochester, I don't like that horn. It sounds too cheap and tinny.
Uh-huh.
That didn't come with the car. Where did we get that horn, Rochester?
That ain't no horn. It's an old atomizer.
An atomizer?
Yeah, don't you smell that tissue the more every time I squeeze it?
Well, that's one on me. An atomizer for a horn.
That's nothing. Our spare tire's a life preserver from the Albany night boat.
Oh, yes, I fell overboard one night. It's lucky I had that on. Everything comfortable in the back seat, kids?
Yes, Mr. Benny, it's fine.
Yeah, fine.
Good, good. You know, Uncle Jackie is going to miss you, little rascals. But you certainly had me on the ropes last Wednesday night.
We sure did.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Do you still feel like hanging yourself, Mr. Benny?
No, I'm all right now. But you kids certainly made a monkey out of me. Gosh. I didn't know anything.
Cousin Boo-Boo is sick about it.
Never mind. Well, Claude, are you going to miss California?
I certainly am, Mr. Benny. I believe that Horace Greeley put it very succinctly when he said, "Go west, young man."
Oh, he did. He put it very... Yes, sir. Horace Greeley was a great inventor.
Why, Mr. Benny, Horace Greeley wasn't an inventor. He was a newspaper editor.
Oh, he was, eh? Well, if you're so smart, what paper?
The New York Tribune from 1841 to 1872.
I'd give $1,000 if I could learn to keep my mouth shut. Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if Horace Greeley did invent something.
Ask Dad Amici. He'll know.
All right, Gerard. 1841. I'll check on that.
Hey, boss, there's Mr. Wilson walking down the street.
Oh, yes. Pull up alongside him.
Okay.
Oh, Don. Don, would you like to ride down at the station with us?
I'm not speaking to you.
Okay. Keep going, Rochester. Poor guy, his tongue is still twisted. Well, Richard, you're rather quiet back there. Did you enjoy your visit with Uncle Jackie?
Yes, Mr. Benny, but I'm sure sorry I didn't get to see Carmichael.
Oh, yes, I was quite anxious to see your polar bear, too.
Me, too.
Well, kid, you certainly missed a treat. Carmichael is just about the cutest thing you ever saw. Soft, white, silky fur, loves to play, and he's just as gentle as a lamb.
Then what happened to the gas man?
You just drive the car. And Rochester, watch out. Watch out for that bump up ahead.
The what?
That bump. Oh, hang on, everybody. Rochester, will you please watch where you're driving?
You're at the wheel now.
Oh, my goodness, get over here. Mary, are the kids all right?
You better call the roll.
Okay. Claude?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
Gerard?
I'm Gerard Darrow. I'm 8 years old and I go to the Radwell School.
Don't give your billing. Just answer. Well, thank heaven the kids are all right. Be careful now, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Still don't like that horn. I want to get something unusual. Something that sounds different.
Why don't you get your cousin Boo-Boo to go...
Just keep my relatives out of this, will you? Well, kids, it won't be long now before you'll be on that choo-choo.
Choo-choo? What's that? Oh, that's baby talk for locomotive.
Baby talk, eh? I said choo-choo till I was 29 years old.
You didn't stop drooling till you were 30.
Oh, quiet. Hey, Rochester, we're near the station, are we?
Pretty soon, boss.
Oh, Gerard, I think we ought to straighten things out with Mr. Benny now, don't you?
Let Richard do it.
Do what? What is it, Richard?
Well, Mr. Benny, we've been living at your house and we haven't paid our bill yet.
Your bill? Oh, forget it, kids. I don't want your money.
But, Mr. Benny, we ought to pay you. We lived at your house 2 weeks.
2 weeks and a day. But forget it.
Ha, ha, ha.
Forget it, kid. It's all right with me. I enjoyed having you. Really.
But, Mr. Benny, if we went to a hotel, it would have cost us money, so why shouldn't you get it?
Yeah. Why, just... Oh, forget it. Forget it. You kids were my guests. Let it go at that.
But, Mr. Benny...
Watch out, Claude. This can't last forever.
Mary, you know very well I wouldn't accept any rent from these lovable children. But when they get to Chicago and they be like sending me a little gift, that's entirely up to them. Well, kids, here we are at the station. Pull up by the entrance, Rochester. Now, we haven't got much time. Pile out, kids.
Come on.
Watch your step, kids. Watch it there. Take it easy.
Say, boss, should I put my red cap on and take the bags in?
Not so loud. There are a lot of them standing around. Come on, kids. Come on, Mary. This way, kids. You just got time to make the train.
Oh, look, there's Mr. Kelly, our quizmaster. Yes, and there are the other kids.
And there's Aunt Bessie.
Wait, Mr. Gerard. Don't run ahead. Everybody stick together. Come on. Come on.
Here we are on the choo-choo, as Mr. Benny puts it.
Gee, he's a nice man. And he didn't even charge us for those 2 weeks.
He certainly fooled me.
Ready to go, boss?
Yeah. Gee, I hated to see those kids leave. You know, Mary, they got to be just like my own children. No kidding, I was crazy about him.
Oh, stop blubbering. You'll see him again.
Yes, but I was so used to playing with him and everything. What'll I do now? What'll I do when I come home evening? What'll I do in my spare time?
Let's look for the gas main!
Oh, quiet! Come on, let's go!
Here's a dessert that's just as pretty as a picture. And you'll be so proud of how good it looks that you'll probably want to put a frame around it and hang it on the kitchen wall for family and friends to admire. But putting it on the dining room table instead, you'll find it tastes just as good as it looks. The name of this dessert masterpiece is Banana and Raspberry Mold, a really different dessert that's not only easy to get, but easy to make. Simply dissolve one package of raspberry Jell-O in 2 cups of hot water and chill until slightly thickened. Next, fold in 2 medium bananas sliced. Mold and chill until firm. Then garnish with sliced bananas and serve. And what a treat. A dessert that's as different as it is delicious. Incidentally, raspberry Jell-O, like strawberry and cherry Jell-O, has a new improved flavor obtained by using a natural flavor base artificially enhanced. And that means it's better than ever. Discover its new goodness for yourself by making a swell dessert combination of luscious sliced bananas and rich red raspberry Jell-O.
Folks, the next time you buy Jell-O, get Jell-O pudding too. You'll find
Hey, why all the whispering, Frank?
Well, I'm not really whispering, Don. I'm just holding myself in, because if I let myself go when I talk about Jell-O puddings, I get so excited I just can't talk straight.
Oh, now, Frank. Try it again. Go ahead.
All right. Jell-O puddings, ladies and gentlemen, are made by the same folks who make Jell-O, and like Jell-O, they're downright swell. For smooth, creamy goodness, Jell-O puddings are simply unrivaled. They're easy to prepare, just as Jell-O is, and they sell for the same low Jell-O price. So try these rich, mellow puddings in 3 flavors, chocolate, vanilla, and butterscotch.
There, I told you could do it.
Get Jell-O puddings tomorrow.
Get Jell-O puddings tomorrow. Oh, we're a little late. Good night, folks.
Remember, next Sunday, April 27th, this program will come to you on daylight savings time. Consult your local newspaper or movie and radio guide for current time in your community.
It's the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, welcome to another Friday edition of the Fred Allen Show. Haven't had one in a couple weeks because I've been off on a break, but it's great to be back. And Fred Allen had to do with my break in some way anyway. because we took the kids back to Philadelphia and to New York and then off to Boston. Well, I knew we were heading to Boston, and I thought that the Boston University had the Fred Allen collection donated to it. But when I got there, I realized it wasn't Boston University, it was Boston Public Library. So through Laura Leff's help and everything, steering me in the right direction, I was able to visit the Boston Library. And I had, because my family wanted to get going and needed to get other places, I had about 45 minutes in there. And I tried to make the most of those 45 minutes. So I went up to their print collections section, and I asked to see any information they had, if they had any inventory of the Fred Allen collection that I knew they'd been donated at some point. They pulled out probably seven or eight books, each one about an inch and a half to 2 inches thick, and each one was inventory of a different part of the Fred Allen collection. So this is a mammoth collection they have, and it reminded me, as I was looking through all the things they had, it reminded me of the Jack Benny collection that UCLA has, that was donated to them by the Jack Benny estate. Anyway, in reading through this, I know you guys are going to be impressed with what I accomplished in my 45 minutes. I was very impressed myself. I usually am not that organized. Anyway, I kind of prioritized what I wanted to do. And well, the first thing I wanted to do was get an inventory of all of the Fred Allen shows that they had, because to me, being a podcaster and a huge Fred Allen fan, I'm more interested in what they have that we don't have available right now. Well, in that amount of time, partially due to their great, very efficient indexing, partially due to the fact that they have huge uninterrupted runs of the Fred Allen show, or where they're just missing a few episodes, I was able to get a complete inventory. I was writing feverishly fast, but I was able to get a complete inventory of all the radio shows that they have done by Fred Allen. And so I have that list, and I'm going to be publishing it in an article that I'm writing. I'm going to submit one article. If Laura Leff asked me to submit an article to the Jack Benny Times, and I'm also going to be submitting it over to the folks over at the Old Time Radio Researchers Group. And if they want to print it, that's great. If they don't, I mean, I'll at least post the article on the podcast page, if nothing else. But I just think there hasn't been, as far as I've been able to find, a lot of articles on Fred Allen and his impact on radio, plus any discussion about specifics about what's in the Boston Public Library collection. And I'll be able to do that now, which is exciting.
The Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, the Texaco Roundtable, Wynn Murray and Al Goodman's Orchestra. It's Texaco time.
Hello, Now, ladies and gentlemen, brevity may be the soul of wit, but tonight we bring you the heel of wit. And here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. There's something you won't see if you come in at a Major Bowes broadcast. Never see the old major making both ends meet, do you, Jimmy? Thank you. Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening to you, Mr. Droopy Wallington.
Good evening.
That's quite a garment you have on there.
You like that?
Yes. What did you do? Somebody squirt an orange on your pajama coat? What did... That looks like an egg with an inferiority complex. That is a shade coat I have never seen.
Just bringing California to New York, Frank.
Well, don't bother. We'll meet at halfway in Omaha.
May I continue?
What do? Wipe pipe cleaners on that? How do you get that shade of yellow, that gentleman's jaundice?
Well, it used to be white.
Huh? Well, you better put a dimmer on that coat before the moths get in there, or the moths will have to go at that with smoke glasses. Well, good evening to you, Mr. Droopy Wallington.
Good evening. But my heart isn't in it.
Your heart wasn't in my introduction either, James. Your opening salute this evening was a masterpiece of indifference.
Well, what's the use? I give you a big build-up every week, then you come on. What becomes of me?
Well, you're here, Jimmy, dressing the stage.
Oh, sure, I'm here, I know. But you go into the newsreels. I just stand here like a dope.
And you're not kidding, I mean it. It's good to hear you thinking out loud like that once in a while. Well, what do you want me to do, Jim?
Well, let me in on something. I don't even know where you get your news.
All right, I tell you what I'll do, James. I will show you tonight how I get my newsreels together. Now, take my hand, and first we'll go down to the out-of-town newsstand at 42nd and Broadway. Now, don't be frightened, Jimmy, in this traffic. We'll just go over here to the little triangle. I know the man at the newsstand here. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Mr. Allen. Looking for news again?
Yes, Sam. What's the highlight in the news this week?
Well, Deanna Durbin got married.
No, can't use that. There's a union involved there.
Well, how about the new income tax bill?
No, that's not funny, Sam.
The baseball season opened last week. There's the heat wave, Mr. Allen.
The heat wave, great. That's my newsreel. Thanks, Sam.
Okay, Mr. Allen.
Now, you see, Jimmy, that's how I get my idea. It's simple.
Yeah, but how do you dig up those broken-down jokes?
Why, that's easy. I newskin them. I put newskin on them after the first show, and they serve at 12 o'clock, too. But that's easy, Jimmy. I just walk around the town and see people. The people tell the jokes and make up the newsreels for me. Now, tonight, as you know, our topic is the heat wave. Now, first, we'll drop in at the Weather Bureau.
Weather Bureau at your service, sir.
How high is the official temperature, sir?
84, but I can get it for you wholesale.
Now, you see, there's a joke, Jimmy.
I don't get it.
Well, I'll explain it to you later. Now, tell me, what is causing this heat wave, mister?
Well, sir, the Gulf Stream came to New York to audition for Billy Rose.
Really?
Yes, Billy Rose is putting on a hot aquacade.
It is. Well, yes. The Gulf Stream will have to join Equity if it's any news to you. Well, I get it. Good day, sir.
And I beg to differ.
I said good day.
The forecast is warmer and wet.
Aren't we all? Mm. So long. You see how the jokes pile up, Jimmy?
Well, no, Fred, really.
Well,
I
now,
don't...
let's take a look at this Weather Bureau ticker here in the corner.
What for, Fred?
Well, we'll just see how hot it is in other parts of the country. Now, let me see what the ticker says here. Hoboken, New Jersey.
Got so hot here, the ferry took off its slip.
Gary, Indiana.
Got so hot here, a 32nd degree Mason went up 10 degrees.
Augusta, Georgia.
Got so hot and dry here, I saw a magnolia bush chasing a water spaniel up the street.
There you see, Jimmy. Hilarious reports from all over the country except Georgia are coming in.
What happens now?
Well, now we'll go back out in the street and pick up some more fun. Now, wait a minute. Let's hail this traffic cop here. Hi, officer.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Say, how about...
I can't hear you with this noise. Wait a minute. Now it's quiet. What did you say?
It's pretty hot around Times Square, isn't it?
Oh, it's as hot as the hind leg of Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Really? Has the heat bothered the theaters any?
Has it? You see that sign? It just says John on that marquee.
Yeah?
Well, it used to say me, John Doe.
What became of the meat?
I had to take the meat down and put it in Lindy's icebox.
Where's the dough?
It baked into a pie crust and fell right off of the marquee.
Well, I thought it turned into a bagel and was playing at the Rialto this year. Any other shows? Were any other shows bothered by the heat?
Only one. They had to put a drip pan under It Happens on Ice.
Gosh, this corner's hot, isn't
it? Yes, sir, there's only been one breeze all day.
A picket go by with his sign?
No, a guy from Buffalo had a blowout in his front tire.
A blowout, eh?
Yeah, gosh, that air from upstate sure felt good.
Yes, I'll bet.
Say, are you through with the funny stuff?
Yes, officer, thank you.
Okay, I'll get back to work.
Now, you see how easy it is, Jimmy? People not only make up the newsreels, they give you a million laughs.
I didn't laugh.
Well, if you don't get a laugh out of the next person, James, I'll tickle you. Let's cross the street here. Take my hand, Jimmy. Ah, here comes a little girl, see, coming out of school. Hello, sis.
Wow.
Hot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it hot in school?
Yeah.
How hot was it?
Well, it was so hot, I was sitting in the sun.
Yeah?
The teacher said, "What's cooking?"
Uh-huh.
It was me. It was me.
Two of you were there sitting? Well, what are you doing? What are you doing out of school at this hour, sis?
Well, the teacher left her goldfish bowl in the window.
Yes?
The water boiled and cooked the goldfish.
And the teacher sent you out to get another goldfish?
No, she sent me out to get some salt and pepper.
Well, there you are, Jimmy. You see, even a kid will convulse you.
But I didn't get it.
I wrote a poem about the heat. You want to hear it, Min?
Why, sure. I don't know about my friend in the faded upper garment, but I'd like to hear it. What is it called?
A paradox.
Well, go right ahead, sis.
A paradox is the baby bear with his heavy coat of thick brown hair. He's hot in the sun, and he's hot in his lair. How can he be so hot when he's a little bear?
Bright little brat. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, she's too bright for me.
Say, well, that could be. She's only 4 years old. But say, now let's stop. Now let's stop at this bus terminal over here. This old gentleman climbing out of the skinny Atlas bus looks all in. Hot upstate, mister?
Yeah, never seen it so hot in skinny Atlas.
A scorcher, hey?
Oh, it was a Wang Zizzler, young feller. Perspiration was coming out of me so fast, had to tread water to stay in my clothes.
You made it all right.
Yeah.
Well, it must have been terrible indoors.
It sure was. I tucked my dog and went downtown.
To get relief?
No, I'm getting relief.
Oh, are you?
I was just trying to get cool.
Oh, I see. And how was it downtown?
Oh, them sidewalks was a-roasting.
Really?
And my dog sat down and give off a yelp like a dying locomotive.
Was he burned? Was he burned badly?
Was he? He went to wag his tail, fell off a clinker.
Hot dog.
Make mine with mustard.
Coming up. You see how funny the man in the street is, Jimmy?
Yeah, that guy ought to be on the radio.
I think he is, from the looks of him. Well, what do you know? Here's the circus, Jimmy.
Hurry, hurry, step this way, hurry, hurry.
Hey, let's stop in and see our old friends, the Siamese twins. Here they are. Hello, boys.
We are Moore and Joe. We say hello.
Has it been hot? Has it been hot around the sideshow?
Hot, he is asking. It is brutal.
Well, did you boys suffer from the heat?
Yeah, it is so hot. All day long, we are flirting with the Ubangi.
Flirting with the Ubangi? Why?
Why, he is asking. The only shade in the circus is under the Ubangi's lip.
Oh, I see. Well, did the heat bother you last night?
Yeah. Last night, we are going to bed. It is too hot to sleep together.
What did you do?
One of us got out and slept on the floor.
Which one?
Which one, he is asking. Who knows? Both of us fell asleep.
Well, couldn't you Siamese twins get twin beds and each sleep in a separate bed?
No, that's stretching the thing too far.
What are they laughing at, friend? I don't get it.
Well, just one more stop, Jimmy, and one more thing for you not to get, and we're all through. Now, here's a recruiting office. I'll speak to this sergeant at the door. Pretty hot, eh, Sergeant?
Yeah, but Congress knew this heat was coming.
Well, how do you know?
That's why they started the draft.
Thank you, Sergeant.
And, by the way, how old are you, brother?
You bet. Well, there you are, Jimmy. And that's how I get the newsreels together every week.
But how do you get that applause at the end, Fred?
I just start applauding myself when I'm finished, Jimmy, like this.
Oh, now I get it.
And Nort, that's all there is to it. And now that I've explained how the newsreels are assembled each week, Kenny Baker will show us how he makes a masterpiece of a song. And the song is Adios.
Adios. I'll be so lonely for you only. I sigh and cry my adios. Adios to you. And in this heart is memory of what used to be, dear, for you and me set apart. The moon watching and waiting above. Too soon it will be blessing our love. Adios. For happy endings I'll return, dear, to you, with a love true no more to bid you adios. Adios. I'll be so lonely for you only. I sigh and cry my adios. The moon watching and waiting above. Oh, soon it will be blessing our love. Adios. For happy endings I'll return, dear, to you, with a love true no more to bid you adios.
And now, as a special guest, ladies and gentlemen, we present one of America's littlest, little-known inventors, Mr. Morpheus Dill. Just what is that you are the inventor of again, Morpheus?
An alarm clock that gives off an aroma.
An alarm clock? That...
Yeah. Inside this alarm clock is a little gas plate, see?
Yeah.
On the gas plate is coffee, eggs, and bacon.
Yes.
Well, when it's time for you to get up, the gas is lighted, the coffee starts to perk, the eggs and bacon start frying, and you wake up and say, what's cooking?
Well, Gad, you have got something there, Morpheus.
Thank you.
Just one question, if you don't mind. This gas plate.
Oh, that's very simple. About 5 minutes before you wake up.
Yes.
You get up and light it.
You mean that you have to get up 5 minutes before you wake up? Well, I hate to say this, Morpheus, but your invention is a dud. And James Wallington, M.D., master of duds, will bear me out in that. Bear me out, Jimmy.
I certainly will, Fred.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There's just one word for gadgets that won't go, won't run.
This ad-libbing has got to stop. Now, let's do this seriously. Bear me out, Jimmy.
I certainly will, Fred.
Go ahead.
There's just one word for gadgets that won't go, won't run, won't work. They're duds.
Dud is the word, too, for those useless elements in gasoline that won't fire quickly, that won't run your car at full power, that won't go to work despite anything you can do while driving. But you can forget duds when you fill up with Texaco Fire Chief. The slow-action elements are out, removed by Texaco in the refining. In Fire Chief, you get only the fast-action elements, concentrated energy that starts your engine with a snap, follow it up with smooth, quick pickups and full cruising power. So next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief gasoline. It's all action, not a dud in a tank full.
That was Melody in F, F as in Flatbush, played by Mr. Al Goodman and and 26 men named Goodman, all relatives. At this time, ladies and gentlemen...
Mr. Allen!
Well, what the... What's wrong, Portland? Stop shaking. What's the trouble?
It's Kenny Baker.
Oh, again with Kenny Baker. What's wrong now?
Well, I don't think Kenny will be here tonight. You better get yourself another singer.
Well, don't get excited, Portland. Kenny is here. He just finished his first number.
Are you sure it was Kenny?
Well, of course I'm sure. Why?
Well, Mr. Goodman took me to the circus this afternoon, and we saw Kenny there.
Well, so what? He probably got a bad balloon last year and went over to exchange it.
But you don't understand. Kenny was in a cage with Gargantua.
What? Why, that's ridiculous.
Mr. Goodman, didn't we see Kenny in Gargantua's cage?
On this, I, Goodman, will sign an affidavit.
You can sign an affidavit. You can sign an after Goliath. And I still don't believe it.
And not only that, but later, we saw Kenny in the lion's cage and in with tigers and snakes.
Well, just a minute. Wait a minute. You mean that our cherry-cheeked Kenny Baker, the Huckleberry Finn of the networks, was making personal appearances in all of the animals' cages?
Yes.
No kidding.
And he was showing off. He even put his head in a lion's mouth.
At this point, four women, including Goodman, fainted.
Well, it couldn't have been Kenny. It couldn't have been Kenny. Kenny has a 7.5 head, and a standard lion only has a 6 7/8 mouth. So how could there be some of Kenny outside?
It was Kenny, it positively was. This I am saying in all positivity.
When you have a line, you come through on time, don't you, Rico? If you were an engineer on a certain railroad, things would be better in Jersey. But what would Kenny be doing rampant in the animals' cages?
I think Kenny is working for the circus, Mr. Allen.
This could be. He is wearing a hat that said Creeper.
Look, that's Keeper. Keeper, not Creeper.
Keeper, he says. Keeper is a herring.
Quiet, please.
Keeper herring, delicious.
Kipper is a herring.
Kipper is a man who runs a lighthouse. A lighthouse kipper.
All right. All right. Have it my way. Now, look, here is all I want to know. What does Kenny mean by hanging around in tiger's cages, risking his life when he's under contract to me? Hello, Kenny. Almost got by me there, didn't you? You passed me in the dialogue. It's luckily I turned and saw you. Well, what's new with you, Kay?
Oh, nothing. Same old dull existence.
Dull existence, he says. His head in a lion's mouth, and he's bored yet.
Please, Maestro. Kenny, and don't be mugging with your glasses on either. Just give us the reading as per agreement without any smirking, you know? All smirk and no play makes plenty of eggs for us to take up later. Now, Kenny? Kenny? I understand that you are doing a little extra work about town.
Yeah, I stumbled into a little easy money.
Easy money, hey? Now, let me tell you something.
Well, don't worry, F.A. You'll get your 10%.
That's beside the point. There's a rumor around, and also, my nose advises me, that you are working for the circus.
Yeah, they hired me to sing.
At the circus?
Yeah, what dopes are paying me $25 a week, and I haven't even sung a note yet.
You're getting this money for nothing, you say?
Yeah, all I do is a few odd jobs.
But Portland and the maestro tell me that they saw you in the lion's cage.
Yes, that's one of my odd jobs.
Oh, that's one of your odd jobs.
Yeah, huh? Twice a day I comb the lion's tail.
You comb the lion's tail?
Yeah, but it's a waste of time. Every time he sits down, he rumples it.
But, Kenny, that lion is wild.
Why, he could chew you to pieces.
Not this lion. His teeth have been filed down.
Well, how do you know?
I filed them myself yesterday.
Oh, another one of your odd jobs.
Yeah.
But I understand that you also put your head in the lion's mouth.
Well, he was growling, so I looked in to see if he had a cavity in one of his teeth.
Well, didn't it occur to you that the lion might have used your head for a temporary filling?
Oh, it was dark in there. He couldn't see what I was doing.
What would you have done if the lion sneezed, Kenny?
I'd have said Gesundheit.
Why not in his mouth? It might have gone down and given him stomach trouble. Now, look, Kenny, we can only use you on this program in one piece. We can't be bothered assembling you every time we need a song. Now, you have got to give up this job.
But, F.A., if Ringling Brothers want to give me $25 just for puttering around,
puttering around with lions and tigers?
It's dangerous, Kenny.
Exactly. There is an old saying, the leopard is not changing his spats.
Please, Mr. Goodman, go away. Go away. Oh, don't you understand, Kenny? The circus would have to spend a fortune to get a daredevil to comb a lion's tail and fool around with savage beasts.
Mr. Allen is right, Kenny.
Why, I know a man who trusted a hippopotamus one time. He lived with one leg to regret it. You know, all beasts and mammals, that's twice nothing happened with that man with one leg. Man with one leg gets nothing in the script. What is it coming to? All beasts, you know, let me tell you something, son. All beasts and mammals are deceitful.
You've got those animals wrong, F.A. They're just misunderstood.
They're misunderstood?
Yeah. Now take that big snake I have to Simonize.
You Simonize a snake?
Just once a day. Why, that snake loves me. He won't leave me for a minute.
But you're here now without him, Kenny.
Oh, yeah? What do you think this is, a belt?
Kenny, button your coat.
And all the time, I'm thinking the hissing is coming from the balcony.
Quiet, Stop taking bows, Maestro. Internally, he takes bows with them. Now, look, Kenny, that lion may have his teeth filed down, and that snake may like you, but for Pete's sake, what were you doing in Gargantua's cage?
How else can I tweeze his eyebrows?
Oh, I give up. You mean you went right into his cage and nobody said anything to you?
Nobody but Gargantua.
What did Gargantua say?
When I walked in there, he looked up and said, "Dr. Livingston, I presume."
So funny, that got such a laugh in the picture, as I remember. Well, all I can say is, you're very fortunate. It's just dumb luck that you're not appearing tonight a la Frigazee.
Oh, Gargi wouldn't hurt anybody, Epe. He doesn't even know what meat tastes like.
Yes, well, he may get curious someday.
I think they expect him to.
Really? Why?
Well, just before I go in to feed Gargantua, they heat up my right arm. I guess it's just in case.
No doubt.
But, Kenny, last week Gargantua's trainer said that he was mad at the whole world.
Well, Gargantua did get sore at me this afternoon.
What happened?
We were both in the cage, and somebody threw in a peanut.
And?
I beat him to it.
No.
What happened then, Kenny?
Well, Gargantua grabbed me by the throat and squeezed.
That gorilla squeezed your throat? Weren't you terrified?
It was the most thrilling moment of my life.
Thrilling?
Yes. For the first time in my career, I hit a high C.
Kenny, you are a young, inexperienced boy. Now, the circus is making a Bolivar out of you. They haven't let you sing, have they?
No.
They haven't told you when you will sing, have they?
No.
That's it, you see. They will never let you sing. They're just using you for a maitre de cage, a fauna flunky, a rhinoceros's Rochester.
No kidding.
Why, if one of those lions turns on you, you will be the late Kenny Baker, and the lion will be burping perfidia. You ought to give up that job immediately.
Gosh, maybe you're right, F.A.
Well, of course, I'm right.
I'll get it. Hello. Yes, this is Kenny Baker. The circus? No, I'm not coming back to you. You guys won't let me sing. What? Yeah? 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 I'll be right over. Oh, boy!
Kenny, you're not going back to the circus.
You bet I am. You're all wrong about those people, F.A.
I'm wrong?
Yes, they're going to let me sing. I'll go get my asbestos tuxedo.
Just a minute. An asbestos tuxedo for what?
For my song.
Your song?
Yeah. They're not only letting me sing, but during my song, they keep shooting me out of a cannon.
And what is this song you're singing?
There I go.
No, no, no. Kenny is left for the circus to put his song over with a bang. Win Murray sings a song dedicated to Kenny's probable destination. It's called Just a Little Bit South of North Carolina.
Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where I long to be. In a little brown shack in South Carolina, someone waits for me. In each letter he says that the weather's fine and the folks are feeling great. That the garden looks grand and the red rose vine is clinging to the gate. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where my thoughts all stray. To the one I love best in South Carolina, I'm going back someday. I can hardly wait to see the face of the one I idolize. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, I'll find paradise. Can't figure out why I ever wanted to roam. Can't figure out why I went away from home. How I miss all the folks I used to know. Can't wait till I return to the place that I love so. Just a little bit south. of North Carolina, that's where I long to be. In a little brown shack in South Carolina, someone waits for me. In each letter he says that the weather's fine and the folks are feeling great. The garden looks grand and the red rose vine is clinging to the gate. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where my thoughts all stray. To the one I love best in South Carolina, I'm going back someday. I can hardly wait to see the face of the one I idolize. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, I'll find paradise.
Thank you, Annie. That was fine. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Be Kind. This is Be Kind to Animals Week. It's a very worthy cause. But may I suggest that we also be kind to automobiles. Tonight, for the first time in radio, you are going to hear an automobile speak. Jimmy, will you tell that car to pull over here to the microphone? And now, the automobile speaks.
Honk, honk. Today I am a can.
Now, don't run yourself down. Of course, your fenders do flop a little, and you have an oversized spare tire there. But all in all, you're a pretty good-looking car.
Don't kid me. Maybe I look all right, but inside I'm a mess.
Really?
Yeah. My transmission's full of old, worn-out grease.
No kidding.
My chassis has got more squeaks than a pet shop.
Oh, it's good.
My crankcase needs new oil. I'm well on my way to becoming a clunk.
Oh, now, no, no. Now, wait a minute. Don't break down in here. Now, all you need is a Texaco dealer's spring tune-up car. Say, Jimmy, just in case this car's owner is listening, will you be kind enough to tell him about it?
Spring has been with us now for 5 weeks. And if you've put off getting your car ready for these warm driving days, don't delay any longer. Avoid possible trouble and expense. See your Texaco dealer. He's trained to give you a skillful, complete warm weather changeover using the Texaco quality product your car needs. First, he'll drain off your old, thinned-out winter oil. Refill with insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil. The oil's insulated to resist extreme heat. Next, the transmission and differential will receive expert attention, and these vital points will have the protection of Texaco gear lubricants of the proper seasonal grade. Last but not least, he'll stop squeaks and wear in the chassis with Marfac. M-A-R-F-A-K. Texaco's famous 40-point chassis lubrication service. So don't delay. Tune up for spring at your Texaco dealer now. Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
A digest version of no more of those noisy finishes. You woke me up again, Mr. Goodman. That was a digest version of Cheer Up, played by Mr. Goodman, who needs no introduction, and proved it by not playing one to this last number. Well, this brings us to our Texaco Roundtable. This is radio's only unrehearsed discussion group that concentrates on trivia. No subject too small for our consideration. If we can see it, we'll discuss it. Now, Portland opens our meeting by simply calling the roll. If you will, Portland.
Mr. Gilbert Supple of Danville, Illinois.
Well, good evening, Mr. Supple.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
You are from Danville, Illinois?
Yes, sir.
Well, may I ask why you came to New York? When did you come to New York, Mr. Madison?
Well, I came in June 1939.
1939?
Yes, sir.
Did you come to see the World's Fair and decide to stay over?
No, sir. I got a job as an information man here in New York.
Oh, when you first... How long had you been here when you got a job as an information man?
3 days.
You had been in New York 3 days and you got a job instructing and advising other people as to where they should go and how to get around New York?
Yes, sir. I was one of these Ask Me guys at Rockefeller Center.
Oh, an Ask Me man? One of those one-man quizzes who are out there with the badges on them?
Yes, sir.
Well, who helped you to get around if you'd only been here 3 days? What did you do? Follow the other people after you told them where to go?
No, I had all these books, Mr. Allen, but...
No time to read them?
No, when I went home, I left all my books in my locker, and the first 3 nights I went home from work, I got lost and got lost in Harlem.
You got lost? Well, you were lucky to get home, back home from up north there, Mr. Seppel. You're very fortunate to be back down south here again. But I think that's typical of New York. Very few people really belong here. As a matter of fact, they closed up. The register of births was arrested for vagrancy some years ago because nobody belongs here, as a matter of fact. Businessmen come here, work all their lives, work very hard to get enough money so that they'll be able to retire and go back to the little town from which they came. It's a vicious cycle. And thank you. I hope you make yours quickly, Mr. Seppel, and can get back to Danville, Illinois, with your Ask Me button on. Well, thank you, Mr. Seppel.
And now, Mrs. Helen Taylor of Toronto, Canada.
Mrs. Taylor, may I ask your business? Are you in business here in New York?
Yes, I am, Mr. Allen.
May I ask what profession or business you're engaged in?
I do body massage work for...
You are a masseuse?
That's right.
Oh, are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me, what are the benefits supposed to be derived from body massage? Is it a method to reduce, or does it increase circulation or lengthen life, or what does it do?
Well, it's usually taken from a health standpoint and also for reducing, particularly for the women.
Women take their body massages more for reducing, huh?
That's right.
How many? It's quite popular, I imagine. You imagine you're quite busy. You have your hands full, do you? Well, tell me, why? What is the purpose of... where does... well, these people who reduce now, suppose 50 people reduce and they all lose 10 pounds each, that's 500 pounds. Now, where does that flesh go when those people have reduced? Have you any idea?
Well, we usually pound it into something that looks like a silhouette figure.
Oh, I see. It's really there, but it's camouflaged. Well, thank you, Miss Taylor, Mrs. Taylor, rather. I'm sorry I haven't time to go into this. And now, Portland?
Mr. Ernesto Ricci of New York City.
Well, good evening, Mr. Ricci.
Good evening, Mr.
You are here on the half shell tonight, I see. Where's your coat, Mr. Ricci?
You forget
to put on your coat? Mr. Ricci, I forgot to tell you, Portland has the shoe shine concession here in our theater, and I asked him to come on and help us out with our question tonight. And he was back, you were back doing some work, were you?
Yes.
And you rushed out here and forgot to put your coat on, huh?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Yeah. Well, you certainly had a touch of...
I've been working before. I forget the coat.
Oh, you forget to put on the coat. Well, that's the way show business is, Mr. Ricci. You know. On with the show, never mind on with the coat or not. But tell me, you have the shoeshine concession here in the theater?
Yes.
And are you a freelance shoeshine? Freelancer.
Yeah.
You don't have any set office or anything. You just migrate around with your Shinola and other. Yeah. You do, huh?
Yes.
Well, tell me, huh? Well, do you think, how long have you been shining shoes?
Well, 10 years now.
10 years, huh? Do you think you'll ever work your way up to be a hat cleaner? You don't, huh? Well, all right, that brings us to our question. Have we time? Well, we haven't had time for the question, unfortunately. Mr. Ricci, you and I spent so much time talking together, we're not going to have time to go through with it. I'm sorry, folks, to have put you all of this trouble, but the vice president there in charge of a digit aloft, you see him there with it up, tells me that we're not going to have time. I'm sorry I brought the whole thing up. Our question... Our question concerns spring. Actually, concerns spring, and in California, we had a flash late this afternoon that there is no spring out in California, and consequently, our question, which goes to California at this time, wouldn't have much sense. I apologize to you all for having caused all this trouble. I hope you'll forgive me. Thank you, and good night. Thank you, and now, Direct from his canon serenade, the circus big shot, Senior Baker, returns to render a Neapolitan medley.
At Montmartre near Paris, where life is gay and free, a bright and airy dance you will always see. I'm gay as gay can be, and it is plain to see, I love romance and glee, and they're always free. Girls wink and dance like toys, throw kisses to the boys, glide and whirl just like coquettes. They're free from all regrets. As for the happy crowd, they all sing tra-la-la, dancing, whirling all night long, they sing this happy song. Come in, my friends, and see our dancing in Paris. For life is gay, so sing and dance, tra-la-la-la. Come in, my friends, and see our dancing in Paris. For life is gay, so sing and dance, tra-la-la-la. Come o'er the ocean blue, moonlight is shining, and with its silver light, stray clouds is lining, while from the blue expanse, their stars are gleaming over night beneath, in sweetness beaming. Come, pretty maiden, look from thy lattice, love, Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia. Dancing in Paris. For life is gay, so sing and dance, tra la la la. Come in, my friends, and see our dancing in Paris. For life is gay, so sing and dance, tra la la.
Thank you, and here is Larry Elliott.
Yes, Fred, with a word about how everyone can be air-minded.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Larry. Being air-minded is fine in its place, I'll admit, but it's not for everyone.
Oh, yes, but I meant...
I know exactly what you meant. You'll pardon my psychic prank, won't you? What you meant is the time that's coming when most everyone will fly a plane.
Mm-hmm.
You realize what our atmosphere is going to be like when it's filled with amateur flyers?
Yes,
people
but...
getting tickets for parking on top of the Empire State Building... Commuters getting home late because a tailwind took them out to Pasadena. Hitchhikers dangling for the West Coast. I mentioned the town. Hitchhikers dangling from every cloud. Why, a man won't be able to take a deep breath without inhaling a couple of children on kiddie planes. Air-minded. Fuck.
But, Fred, I meant being air-minded about driving.
Well, how can a motorist be air-minded, Larry? I'm asking you.
And I'm telling you. If you like the idea of handling a car that takes off with snap and dash,
that soars eagerly along the road, that quietly lifts you up and over the hills, then you're air-minded about driving. And I might add, in the modern mood to enjoy flying the highway with Sky Chief, Texaco's premium gasoline. It has all the qualities you associate with the smoothness and power of flight. Lifting, soaring, climbing power that gives you a thrill just to think of having it under your control. So with that in mind, the next time you're driving, try a tank full of Texaco Sky Chief and enjoy flying the highway for a change. Remember, Sky Chief is your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
And now the Texaco Workshop Players. Tonight they dramatize a true story that illustrates the great influence radio plays in our daily lives. This clam bake is called Radio. Music 802. Radio, the great American indoor pastime. Today, there are 40 million radio sets in active service used throughout the country. Radio stations broadcast assorted programs 18 hours a day. Radio brings you educational features.
A set of Encyclopedia Britannica goes to Mrs. Fink of Red Hook, Brooklyn.
Thank you.
Radio brings you comedy.
How can you keep a dead fish from smelling?
Cut off his nose.
Up to the minute news.
Flash, fifth race at Jamaica, away at 4:15, the winner Flying Max.
Radio also brings you music.
Try Hemingway's pills for your fevers and chills. Take Hemingway's pills and tomorrow you'll be well. We're nuts about the good old Hemingway.
Radio is a vital influence in the lives of millions of people. But while it entertains and instructs us, we must ever be on our guards, for radio can be overdone. To prove our point, we now show you how one man's happy home was broken up and his life practically ruined by radio. This story then is called The Undoing of Abner Snide. Abner Snide was a finger man in a donut shop. Through each long day, Abner stood alert by the side of his shiny donut machine, plunging his finger fearlessly into the heart of each crisp golden blob of dough as it tumbled out of the fat, and presto, another donut was born. When Abner got home from work each night, he was dog-tired, and his donut finger dangled limply from his hand. The only fun he had in life, Abner derived from his radio. Every night at dinner, it was the same story, Abner would say.
Hurry up with my coffee, Camille. I gotta get back to the radio.
Radio, radio. Every night, it's the radio.
Don't wax, Camille. You and me owe a lot to them radio commercials.
I owe what?
You ain't got dishpan hands no more, thanks to Guffey's lotion.
Well, I...
And look at me. Cat's ball rubber heels have put spring in my step.
Put spring?
Yeah, and my mother didn't tell me about gripper fasteners. I used to gap all over.
I know.
Yeah, today my double-breasted union suit is tailored to my taste. I can stoop with confidence.
Yes, I've seen you. Wouldn't be so bad if you tuned in some music or jokes once in a while.
Oh, I don't have time to tune that junk in. The commercials keep me too busy.
Well, you don't have to listen with your hat on.
Oh, I got it, Camille. Them announcers always tell you to do something. It's got to be done right away. Go to your druggist now. See your grocer today. When them radio announcers tell you to go, you got to go, that's all.
You mark my words. Radio will be your downfall, Abner Snide.
Radio will make me a success, Camille. And that reminds me, I'm turning the radio on right now.
Attention, men. The following announcement is transcribed.
Ooh, a commercial goodie.
The makers of Sticky Slick Hair Tonic bring you another 60-second success story. The scene, a vice president's office. An office boy enters.
Here's your new memo pad, Mr. Morgan.
Thank you, Smith. You may go.
Gosh, your hair sure looks nice this morning, Mr. Morgan.
Thank you, Smith. You're an observant boy.
You hear, Camille? He's an observant boy.
Each hair is in place. What have you got on it?
Sticky Slick Tonic.
You mean Sticky Slick, the scientifically prepared hairdressing?
The same. Sticky Slick is the only hair tonic that contains schmaltz.
Pardon me, sir, but do you mean schmaltz spelled S-C-H-maltz?
Schmaltz.
Yes, Smith.
The smart man uses Sticky Slick, sir.
You notice things, Smith. You're going places. I'm giving you a raise.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He got a raise. Turn off that radio, Camille.
Yes, Abner.
You see, every time you listen to the radio, you learn something. I'm trying that tomorrow.
Trying what?
Being observant like that office boy. Tomorrow, when I take my first batch of donuts into the boss, I'm going to notice what Mr. Kibbe has on. Then I'll get a raise, too.
Gee, Abner, you think you
sure. might... Sure. Someday I'll own my own donut factory, Camille. And we can live on the fat of the land.
And so, the next day, determined to notice things like the little people in radio commercials, Abner Snide entered his boss's office.
Here's my first batch of donuts, Mr. Kippy.
I'll check the holes later, Snide. You may go.
Hey, that's a keen-looking suit you got on, Mr. Kippy.
Go away, Snide. I am busy.
Hey, I bet that's one of them thrilling new Palm Beach Seven Seas ensembles which can be bought at any one of the 187 conveniently located schleptageries, no money down.
What are you talking about, Snide?
Well, I'm only showing you how observant I am, Mr. Kippy.
Observant, you little donut drudge?
Ooh, when you gnash your teeth like that, I can see the sparkle. You use Dr. Wacko's toothpaste. Goodbye to Gump Bear.
I've stood enough of your ranting, Snide. Now you're talking like a radio.
Yes, sir. Now, about my raise.
I'll give you a raise. I'll kick you out of here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be kicked by a Tom McCann shoe. Only the Tom McCann is the scientific fit and free action swing.
And I'm swinging it right now, Snide. Take this.
Boom!
And so, thanks to radio, Abner Snide returned home with an ache in his heart and all points south. As Abner ate his dinner from the high boy, he tried to explain to his wife just what had happened. Abner said...
And then Mr. Kibbe put his leg back down and said, Snide, you're fired.
Well, it's your own fault if you quit listening to that radio.
Don't go blaming radio, Camille. Radio was all right.
But you've lost your job. What are we going to eat, them box tops you've been saving?
Well, the radio will get us out of this, Camille. I'll turn it on.
You and your radio.
I got faith in radio, Camille. You'll see, some announcer will solve our troubles.
Attention, men. Do you need money?
I told you, Camille. See, radio's like a miracle.
Are you short of ready cash?
Yeah, I am.
Can you use a generous loan with absolutely nothing to sign?
You bet I can, mister.
Then come to the Fleeso Loan Company.
Uh-huh.
Fleeso doesn't ask you to sign papers. Fleeso doesn't ask you for security. Fleeso doesn't ask you to return the money. No, sir. We just give the money away. Can we help it if we're a little crazy? Remember, nothing to sign, nothing to pay. Get a Fleeso loan tonight.
Oh, boy. I told you we'd be saved by radio.
Who's on the radio, stupid? I'm speaking from this sound truck outside the window.
Oh, boy, where's my coat?
Where are you going, Abner? That's a shyster loan outfit they can't even get on the radio.
Yeah, but irregardless, I'm getting a Fleeso loan. So long.
And so, with his little round face sporting a cherub smile, our hero scurried down to the Fleeso office, pausing at the door just long enough to let the wind out of his bubble gum and park it under the doorknob. Abner eagerly entered the office.
Come in, gullible one.
Excuse me, is this the Fleeso Loan Company?
Yes, brother. I am Mr. Fleeso. What can I do for you?
Well, I heard about your loan and money.
Oh, you want some of this money we're giving away.
Yeah, my name is Abner Snide. I need $50.
Oh, good. Here you are, $50, Mr. Snide.
Gee, thanks.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Fleeso. So long.
Just a minute, you.
Who said that?
I did. Where are you going with that $50?
Why, I'm...
Trying to pull a fast one, huh?
Did I forget something?
Before you go, there's a couple of formalities to attend to. First, sign this here document.
But the man said no
signing. And while you're signing, I'll take this gold watch out of your vest.
But the man said no security.
That's all, brother.
Well, I still got my $50. So long.
Just a minute, buddy.
Holy smoke, where did you guys come from?
Out of my closet. They're vice presidents in charge of collecting fees.
What fees?
Go to it, boys.
I'm taking your coat and shirt.
That's your guarantee fee.
Guarantee fee?
I'm taking your pants.
That's your depreciation fee.
Depreciation fee?
I'm taking this $50.
That's your fee fee.
Fee fee?
That's it, Snide. Now, all you owe Fleeso is the original $50 loan plus interest.
My watch gone, my clothes gone, I'm standing here in my union suit, and I still owe you $50 in interest?
That's right.
Look, How much would it cost me to just forget the whole thing and go out the way I came in?
You couldn't afford it, brother. Scram in good health.
And so poor Abner, the innocent victim of his all-out gullibility, found himself out in the street clad in his double-breasted union suit. With great presence of mind, Abner picked a large calendar number out of an ash can, pinned it on his little chicken breast, and loped home disguised as a marathon runner. Jobless, moneyless, and garmentless, Abner finally broke down and said to his wife,
"Doggone tiddly-tud-do, Dad. I'm through with radio for good."
Oh, now you're going too far, Abner.
No, I'm not.
Radio does a lot of good for people that can handle it.
Not me. I'm done. I've been a chump once too often. I never want to hear that word radio again. If anyone ever says radio... Hello? Hiya. This is Abner Snipe. Oh, yeah? Goodbye.
What was that?
Oh, some radio thing. I'm through with that. Oh, there it goes again. Hello? I told you I ain't interested. Goodbye. Another one of them radio gags. They ain't tricking me again.
But who was it, Abner?
Oh, something called a pot of gold. Said they wanted to give away money.
Abner, the pot of gold really gives away money.
What?
You fool. You've just lost $1,000.
$1,000?
And Abner fainted dead away. He fell on his head, and when Abner came to, he had a lump on his head as big as his head. The lump never went down. The lump never went down. And years later, Abner, despite his resolutions, returned to radio. He became an actor. He mastered ventriloquism and went on the radio. He talked to his lump, and his lump would answer. Today, Abner and his lump are known to millions of radio listeners as Lump and Abner. The end. Elliot, with barely enough words to fill a nutshell.
The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. More than ever this year, the slogan of travelers will be "See America First." And all of America's 226,000 service stations are ready with the services and automotive products that will help make your driving carefree and comfortable wherever you travel on our great network of highways. It is a fact to remember, too, that over 95% of these service stations are operated by local independent merchants who, while serving motorists from all 48 states, are local businessmen who also take pride in serving, living, and trading in their own communities.
Thank you, Larry. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for letting the Texaco Star Theater service your radio this hour tonight. We'll be back to render the same service next Wednesday at Texaco time. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. Remember, you're welcome.
If your community does not observe daylight saving time, this program will come to you 1 hour earlier, beginning next Wednesday. For exact time of broadcast in your vicinity, consult your local newspaper or movie and radio guide. Music used on this program included Alfred Jason and Santa Lucia. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.